Ladies and gentlemen, we are live!
Tonight, we are going to witness the most anticipated match in the history of professional wrestling.
All right, welcome everybody to the second episode of the Extra Inning Softball Podcast. My name is Carlos Arias, and my co-host is Brent Eads from Extra Inning Softball. Hey, what's up, Brent?
Excited to be here. Going to have a fun time tonight.
Right on. We got a great guest today, a great group of guests. First of all, Mackenzie Clark from Bradenton, Florida, from TJ Gold's Tampa Mustangs. Welcome to the show, TJ. Or, I'm sorry, welcome to the show, Mackenzie.
Hi.
And we also have Mackenzie's parents on, Brian and Carrie. And how are you guys doing?
We're doing good, thank you.
Yeah, really, really excited for this. This is awesome.
Right on. And later on, we're also going to have Coach TJ on here as well. So why don't we get started? First of all, Brent, we got to see Mackenzie and the Tampa Mustangs at PGF Nationals this year. And what a run they made. You know, give me your thoughts on what you saw in the Tampa Mustangs. And Mackenzie, talk about her catch, too.
Yeah, well, TJ's always been a great coach. And, you know, one of my favorite experiences, I've talked to death about the story, but one of my favorite stories out of PGF was several years ago when a 1600 team lost the play-in game. And then rolled off, how many was it? I want to say 12, you can verify that. 12 wins where they were on the edge of you know, if they lost, they're done. And so they won it all. And that, to me, was one of the most amazing runs I've ever seen. This year, I don't think a lot of people honestly expected the Mustangs to be where they were. You know, stepping up a division, and they were good. We knew they were good. But I just think we saw – TJ's and his staff, just give credit where credit's due. Everyone on that staff did a great job, including his daughter, Kinsey, who helped out. But also, I think, you know, TJ really has a good grasp of his team and what their strengths are. And he kept saying the whole week that Mackenzie calls her Pie, and we'll find out later why. She's nicknamed Pie, one of my favorite stories. But he kept saying Pie is having a great week. And then we saw that on Field 4 at Huntington Beach Sports Complex, that amazing catch. And I love the quote where Mike Stitz said, she cost us 5 runs. And not just that catch, but everything she was doing. So I think the softball world really saw that Mackenzie is one of the top players in the 2020 class, and that TJ is one of the top coaches in the club world. And also the Mustangs are a force whenever they play nationals or any tournament.
And, you know, during that first week in PGF 18U Premier Nationals, the first look I got of Mackenzie was I'm walking over the field 4, and she's diving over the fence making a crazy catch. I mean, it was nuts. Mackenzie, tell me what was going through your mind, you know, on that play, because we saw some amazing defensive plays that week, and that was easily one of the tops.
Well, on that play, I was thinking over the summer I've had quite a few home runs I've gone over the fence that I've either tipped over my glove or I've missed. And on that one, I wasn't really thinking about any of the previous plays, anything else going through my mind. I just remembered that I had a right fielder telling me, she's like, fence, fence. And at that point, I did not care if there was a fence there. I told myself I was catching that ball. And as soon as I caught it, I threw my hand up with the ball. And I was like, I caught it that time. And I was looking at the umpire, and he called it out. And I just ran to my teammates when they were all excited. It was a really cool play, sir.
And Mom and Dad, I mean, what's going through your mind at that moment? I mean, you know how talented she is. And then she pulls out something like that. I mean, what were you thinking, Carrie?
Well, actually, what I was thinking was at the beginning of the season, Coach TJ always asked them, you know, what are some things you want to accomplish in this summer? And that was one of them on her bucket list, was that she wanted to rob a home run. So I was pretty excited for her.
And Brian, I mean, you got to be just going, my gosh, I can't believe that this happened. You know, what are your thoughts? And did you take that photo?
No, actually, I did not take the photo. You know, I'm very fortunate because I'm on the field all the time. and I get to see a lot of great players make a lot of great plays. But, you know, the quote that Coach Stith made about costing her five, you know, costing him five runs, you know, that's such a huge compliment out of a just totally class organization. You know, that's what it's all about. That's why we do what we do. You know, to get these kids ready to play at the next level and start as freshmen and, you know, do all the things that they do. But, I mean, that was awesome. I mean, just watching her throw people out at home and make a catch like that. And then, you know, if you watch the video and, you know, as soon as she makes the catch, her first instinct is she pops up ready to gun somebody down, then realizes it was the third out, and then you know, climbs back over the fence and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, the instinct of just, I'm going to throw somebody out because that's one out, but there may be somebody else trying to take a bag on me, you know. So, you know, you look at that and you're just super proud as a parent and super proud as a coach, you know, that's what you're doing, you know, and just a tremendous athletic play.
And McKinsey, I mean, in a day and age – oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brent.
No, I'm sorry. As a parent, I haven't heard anything about concerned of injuries or did she, you know, tweak an elbow. I mean, it sounds like this is a competitive coaching, you know, the softball mom. They're like, okay, she caught it. She can have dinner tonight. Was there any concern that this could have been an injury here?
Brent, you've been around this game a long time. You know exactly how softball parents are. We're all crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of like just rub some dirt on it and you'll be fine. Just hang in there.
Exactly.
They know I'm made out of rubber. I'll just bounce right back.
You're young. You can do that when you're young.
Exactly.
And McKinsey, I mean, you know, in a day and age when offense gets so many highlights and everything and everybody focuses and dials in so much on offense, but people were talking about, you know, your defense just as much. I mean, even more. Do you take pride in that? Is that something that you know, really appreciate in the sport?
Yes, sir, absolutely. I feel that Coach TJ has taught me so much about having two hats on. So when you're in offense, like you have your offensive hat on and like you're focused on what you're doing in the box. But when I'm on defense, I put my defensive hat on. And let's say I'm not doing well on offense, I'm always strong on my defense side. And I believe that if one hat's not working, then you switch to the other hat and you focus on that hat, and that's all that matters to you at that point.
Right on. And is Coach TJ on with us yet?
Yes, sir. Just joined. Love technology. Hey, awesome.
There we go, man. Hey, just the guy I was looking for to tell me a little bit about McKinsey. I mean, you know, can you just describe what she brings to the table as a player and as a teammate? What's she all about?
Yeah, Pi's pretty invaluable. So, you know, she's kind of our spark plug, and, you know, she brings so much to the team, you know, just with her energy and her motor and how she carries herself. She keeps things light. You know, she's a great teammate. That, you know, the team loves being around her. And, you know, we've told her for many years that, you know, it's real important for her, you know, to understand how much influence she has on everyone around her, you know, by how she goes about it. And she's done a great job with that. And, you know, a real leader on the team from a, you know, from an emotional standpoint, and then physical talent and physical gifts are just, you know, just off the chart.
Get in there with Coach TJ, man.
Coach, yeah, before you came on, and by the way, thank you. I know he's in the middle of hitting lessons and practices, so appreciate the coach taking time out to join us tonight as we record this.
My pleasure.
I know that you kept saying during the week that the team was playing well at PGF Nationals, and you kept mentioning that Pi was having a great week. What was it like? You know, that team really came together, and she, you know, I think typified the teamwork, the team mentality. That had to be a fun run for you to see these girls step up. And it was great, too, seeing your wife and your daughters were around the field. It was like a family affair.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of family out there, and, you know, not just my own, but, you know, we got a lot of families that have been together a long time. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, as you know, Brent, that has made our story different. You know, even then, when you look at, you know, the last three or four teams that we played, you know, they're pulling kids from, you know, from all over the country. And And I'm not, you know, I'm not dissing that model at all. I mean, that's fantastic. And we love playing them, and we love, you know, putting together, you know, the best teams and playing the best teams. But I think one of the things that's different is, you know, we've got a lot of families that have been together a long time and have seen these kids grow up from, you know, in some cases, 7, you know, 8, 9, 10, all the way up now to, you know, 16, 17, 18. And, you know, that makes it pretty special. So, you know, when we got going at PGF and, you know, this was our third time with this team, with this group, you know, being in the final five and second time in the final four. So, you know, they've been there before. They're hungry. You know, they really want that national title. So I don't have to, you know, and I say you know, none of us coaches really have to remind them too much what they're playing for. They want it, I think, and they kind of expect it. And I mean, I'll brag a little bit more. I mean, we played in four events this summer, and all four national events, and came in the top five and four out of four, and top three out of four. So I don't mean that to brag, but I mean it more so that, you know, these guys are, you know, these girls are, you know, just they're looking to play the best competition. And, you know, I was just really proud of them because they showed up all summer, you know, for every event, week-long travel, and, you know, dealing with each other, you know, 16, 17, 18 year old girls being girls and doing all that. And when they got on the field though, it got to be really special. And, you know, again, you look at our last three or four games, you know, who we played against, as well as ourselves, I think they're the top teams in the country as well as ourselves. And, you know, we put on a pretty good run. So, you know, what Mackenzie did is, she really kind of, you know, put the team on back offensively, and she just never, you know, never really stopped. She never cooled off. I mean, she contributed in every game and in some aspect of it, and in most games, and both offense and defense. So it was fun to see her get hot. And I don't know if Pi told you, but I mean, you know, she wasn't hot all summer. She was good all summer, but she was hot at PGF. And, you know, to do that in that setting against some of the best pitching in the country and the best pitching that we'll see for the next 4 years in college shows you how special of an athlete she is.
You know, Coach, Mackenzie in her Q&A talked about the mental side of softball, you know, being so important and helped her, you know, handle a slump, or, you know, if she got into one. And she, you know, said that was a big part of what you, you know, stressed is, you know, how important that is. Can you talk about that too?
Absolutely. I think we spend a lot of time as that all the coaches on our staff do. And, you know, part of that is that, you know, we let these girls, you know, get training, you know, not just from us. I mean, we have kids that, you know, go to their own hitting coaches. We have kids that go to their own pitching coaches. And I'm all for that. I'm just all for that, you know, focused attention and helping kids get better, however they do that. But what I think we do as a staff, you know, is to, you know, jointly, is just to really focus on getting these kids ready to play. And I think that's just so important, you know. Yeah. And it's not even just for softball. It's just life in general. And we've been telling them that story long before they even really knew what that meant. I mean, you know, right, Pi, you could probably laugh at, you know, probably hearing that at 10 years old and going, what is Coach AJ talking to me about work for, you know? But, you know, but I tell her all the time that there's days that right, Pi, that we, you know, we all got to get up and go to work. Either we had a good day or a bad day or whatever it is. And we got to carry on and lead our families and do all those things. So, you know, being able to learn that and experience that, I think it's one of the beautiful things that this game teaches. And it's something that these girls will use for the rest of their lives.
Brent, do you have anything else for Coach TJ before we turn him loose on the batting cages?
No, thanks, TJ. And you can see why his teams win. You know, they focus not just on the on-field between the line stuff, but it's one of the things I love about this sport at this level is how the coaches take care of their kids. And they make it so that it's not just about the sport. It's about you know, the progress. It's about what you're going to do as a career, what you're going to do in college, what you're going to do post-college. So, I know TJ well and a big fan of his and what he's done, and I think the accomplishments and numbers speak for themselves.
Well, Coach, thank you for your time, man.
No, thank you so much for having me. I just wanted to make one side comment, and Pi will laugh about this too because she knows the player. But, you know, when you think about, you know, being involved in all this and stressing what we stress, and Pi's father, Brian, is a big part of that as well. But, you know, we talk about the life lessons. I just had one of my former players contact me on LinkedIn and ask me to help her, you know, use some of my connections here in the Sarasota-Bradenton area in the medical field to look for internships, things like that. And
you know, again, you've been talking about, you know, full circle and the different things we've talked about. And, you know, we've always said, if you go about it the right way, do things right, people are going to want to help you, and being good to other people is going to come back to you. So, you know, when I had Kaylee Macitti, you know, reach out to me and on LinkedIn, you know, it kind of made me laugh, first of all, because this is a kid I was coaching at, you know, PGF National Championship just a few years ago. And here we are, you know, talking on LinkedIn about, you know, helping her get an internship. So, you know, that's the kind of stuff that makes me smile. And kids like Pi, you know, she's just going to be a success in life because she's just a joy, you know, in everything that she does. And she almost took my toe off again tonight. So I'm glad that I survived. She's done that a few times, so I'm sure she can tell you about that. But guys, thanks so much for having me. Congratulations, Pi, and I'll talk to y'all soon.
Thank you, Coach TJ. I'll see you Wednesday.
Yeah, see you Wednesday night. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, Brent, why don't you get things started here, man?
Yeah, the first time we've had like a fight on our podcast. We're in week two, and already we're having arguments between player and coach. Wow. Interesting dynamic. Breaking story. Pi is leaving the Mustangs organization, driven out by your coach after an on-air argument. No. Well,
I
this is a topic.
Off one time.
Yeah, well, we've got nine others, I guess. So it's just
exactly.
So I'm excited to talk about this topic tonight. And, you know, I've told Carlos and praised him for getting Pi and her family on, because this is a topic very close to my heart, and it's about adoption, being adopted. I was adopted at birth, and Pi has got a fascinating story, and we kind of commiserated at PGF, and, you know, after that great game where she stole the 5 runs from the Batbusters, we started talking about her background, and I think it's fascinating, and it's a great tribute to her parents, how they've been a part of the journey. And, you know, it's just an exciting, uplifting story. So why don't we throw it out to Brian and Carrie first? If you can talk about kind of the setup and the situation, how McKenzie came into your life.
Well, you know, it's really cool. You know, we, as young parents, you know, we're 50 plus now, but as young parents, you know, you want to start a family and you want to do all these things. And, you know, that wasn't in the cards. That wasn't what we were dealt, that we were going to have natural children. And, you know, after some tough times and some things, you know, we had to kind of step back and say, okay, you know, what are we really supposed to be doing here? And, you know, a lot of faith and family and time just thinking about, you know, why, you know, you always have those questions and things like that. And, you know, and we've been blessed with two awesome kids. You know, our son Hunter, you know, he's 20 now, going to be 21 in December, and, you know, tremendous athlete. He's working with me now doing technology and going to tech school, and, you know, he's kind of getting his legs under him. You know, he's a gym rat, so he's in tremendous shape, and he's just a super good kid. And you know, so then we decided, you know what, we want, you know, that adoption was awesome, and we're going to do that again. And, you know, we went through an attorney. We didn't want to do the agency route, so there's an attorney in Tampa that's what she specializes in. And, you know, it's one of those things, you get the phone call and you're like, wow, it's a little girl and it's in Minneapolis and it's January. And we all know what the weather's like for South Florida folks in Minneapolis in January. But you know what? Hey, let's go. Let's get on a plane. This feels right. Let's go. So that's what we did. And we get up there, you know, the times where you have to go into the hospital room with the other family, and, you know, I mean, there's all the uncertainty, and, you know, the 24 hours after they say yes, you know, we're going to release the child and you're going to be the adoptive parents. You know, there's a 24 hour cool off period, if you want to call it that. And that got a little bit interesting, to say the least, in Minneapolis, and Pi almost didn't come to South Florida. And, you know, but when you kind of look back on it, and it was just a fantastic experience. You know, I had to fly home. So after the 24 hours and we knew that we were going to have her, she was very young, very small. I mean, she would fit in the palm of my hand. You know, she was five and a half pounds or something like that, incredibly small. I had to come back to work because there was a problem because she's got American Indian in her, and we had to have the tribe release her. Well, in Minnesota, that takes about 2 weeks. So I couldn't be up there that long. So I had to leave her and my wife, Carrie, in a Hampton Inn in Minneapolis and fly home. And the people at that Hampton were phenomenal. I mean, they took her to grocery stores. They went and picked up groceries. You know, they realized what was going on. They knew the story. And all these people just went out of their way in January when it's snowing and it's 0 degrees and it's just, you know, all that jazz. You just find the good in people when they, you know, you have a need and they're just like, yeah, we don't know you're from the man on the moon, but we're in, you know. And, you know, and then you kind of fast forward the 2 weeks and we get the release papers and they can come home and get to the airport, and the airport's like, nope, she's too small, can't get on the plane. So then I'm calling from Florida, squawking at the gate agent, finally talk her into allowing her on the plane, and we got them home. You know, and then you kind of, you know, then the family part of it takes over from there. But that's the 30-second version of several weeks worth of stress and fun, all the stuff we do for our kids, right?
Did you also keep in mind that all the states are different with their adoption laws? And we were very familiar with Florida since Hunter was born in Florida, but Minnesota was definitely different because when we got back home, she still had 90 days to change her mind. So we were kind of on pins and needles for about 3 months until that time came and we knew she was ours. So it was pretty tough there for the first go of it, but it worked out.
Carrie, when you first, you know, took Mackenzie back to the hotel and, you know, like your husband was saying, he had to get back to Florida. You know, what were you thinking in those times that, you know, helped get you through and, you know, say, hey, I really want to bring this girl home to be a part of my family. But, you know, it had to be tough at that moment, right?
Yes, a lot of praying. it was pretty tough, especially being by myself with a little infant and, you know, not getting a lot of sleep. But like Brian said, we did have a lot of support staff with us there just from the hotel we were staying at. But we also had to deal with the fact that Mackenzie's birth mom medically was not doing very well. She was actually released after the pregnancy, but then she actually got readmitted back into the hospital a few days later. So she was requesting that I come to the hospital with Mackenzie. So we spent a lot of time there for that week. And that hotel took me back and forth to the hospital to visit Mackenzie's birth mom, probably at least 3 or 4 times when I was there by myself. So, you know, and I think that part of it was probably a blessing in disguise because I think it made her feel a lot more comfortable knowing the type of people we are and got to know us before we left. And that 90 days, I think, proved to be, you know, a success for us because of that time I spent one-on-one with her.
And I'm sorry, Mackenzie, when you know, hear the story about when you're just a little tiny baby that could fit in your father's hands and, you know, what they all went through to bring you home to Florida, I mean, what are the emotions that brings out in you? And, you know, like, how does it make you feel to hear that kind of stuff?
it just makes me feel extremely loved to know that two strangers that don't know anything about your parents or anything would fly out of their way just to adopt you and make them yours, and then to put up with the sass and the attitude along all the years. It's just, I just feel loved by them, giving me such an amazing life.
Brent, why don't you get in there? Because I know you have a lot of thoughts on, you know, what all goes into to this kind of thing.
I appreciate that. It's every situation is different. Mine was such that, and I want to ask Mackenzie this question. I remember when I was 4 or 5 asking where babies came from. And I don't remember the answer, but I remember saying, is that where I came from? And they said, no, you were special. And kind of proceeded to a 4-year-old little boy to explain the situation. I always felt unique and proud. And Mackenzie, in your situation, or mom and dad, you can jump in too. How did you find out over time that you were adopted? And the second part of it is, how have you felt being adopted? Has it been something that, you know, it comes up a lot, or you never think about it?
Well, let me just say, I don't remember them telling me I was adopted. What I do remember was in like the 3rd or 4th grade, this kid comes up to me and he goes, are those your parents? And it was like a back to school night or something. And I was like, yeah. And they're like, are you sure? And I was like, well, yeah. And they're like, that doesn't make sense. I was like, well, what doesn't make sense? And his response was, well, just look at them. I was like, I am. Those are my parents. And so I don't remember them telling me I was adopted. I just remember throughout elementary school, like, people would ask me, are those your parents? Like, constantly. And I'd be like, okay, what's wrong? And I would, like, talk to my brother about it. He was like, well, his, to me, response was, well, white plus white does not equal brown. And so I proceeded to ask my art teacher what white and white equals. And that was me in elementary school, just minding my own business, thinking that I was their kid, not seeing color. But, like, nowadays, like, people are like, oh, hi, Miss Carrie. And, like, they're like, love my parents, whoever it is. But I had a friend argue with one of their parents, and I was like, you are stuck with them. And, like, I just make jokes about that, like, them choosing me and loving me like that. It's just fun.
Yeah, you do feel special, right? I mean, I would always tell people, hey, they had to take you. They had no choice. But they shopped
for me. No,
they bought me. You know, I was high priced. So
exactly, golden child.
Let me ask Brian and Carrie, was this an open adoption in the sense that the mother, you mentioned the 90-day period, but that there was contact kept up with her over time, that she would have access to Mackenzie over time?
Well, you probably already know this, but there are 3 types of adoptions. One's open, semi-open, and closed. And we chose the semi-open, which means we got to meet the birth parents because it was very important to us to know them and to understand their situation so we could kind of talk to our kids when they grew up. But and we did keep in contact. So semi-open, they got a choice. How many years, I guess, we keep in contact with them. With Hunter's mom, it was 3 years that we had to, on paper, send her pictures of him and, you know, kind of tell a little bit about how he's doing. And so we had to do that annually, but we did that more often. I thought it was very important to at least do it a couple times a year just to kind of give them, you know, some updates on, you know, Hunter and how he was doing. But with Mackenzie, her mom was about the same age as me. She was in her 30s when she had Mackenzie, and it was important to her. So she wanted to have as long as we do it. And so we keep in contact her, but it all goes through our attorney. So she doesn't technically know where we actually live, but, you know, we keep in contact with her, and she sends us photos and we send her photos. So it's good. We've had a good experience with it.
And Mackenzie, have you met your birth mom, or will you down the road if you have it?
I have not met her, but I would like to sometime over the years, but we do write a lot. And this past year, I found out through a letter she sent me that she loves Travis Scott. Like, that is her favorite artist. And I had to reread that like two or three times. I was like, Travis Scott. Nope, not registering. I was like, the rapper? I was like, my 50-some mother is listening to Travis Scott, thinking that it's the greatest music of all time. And I was like, this is where I get my, like, music choices from. I like this.
Mackenzie, I had a question too. Can you talk about your relationship with your brother too? Because it sounds like the whole family is close, and I'm wondering, you know, how you are with him. Is he like, you know, the guy that always protected you at school, or like, how's that relationship?
Hunter is very special. He is my best friend, and if I'm sore from a workout or whatever it is, since he goes to the gym like twice a day for like 12 hours, some crazy workout, and he sees me drinking Starbucks, like a Frappuccino, something that has a lot of whipped cream and sugar in it. He's like, why are you putting that in your body? Like, he's always on top of me. And we went to my official visit for Clemson, and he was up there too. And he was like, hey, sorry I missed lunch. And he was like, can we catch up sometime? And I was like, yeah. And it's like going on 8:30 o'clock. And it's like a Friday night, so it's like the day before the game on Saturday, the football game. And so he comes by the dorms, and he was like, you're going to be living here? And I was like, yeah, at least for the first year. And he looks across the window, and he sees that there's a gym like right outside my dorm. He's like, you're going there in the morning and at night and sometimes even in the afternoons. And I was like, I will do no such thing. I was like, I will have workouts up here in college. And he saw that there is a Starbucks in it, like outside our dorm. He's like, are you kidding me? I was like, yeah, I suggested they put one in just for me. And he's just so on top of me and what I put in my body and what I'm doing. And he'll sometimes text me since he moved out. I don't get to see him a lot, but he's like, you want to get lunch? And I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, you're paying. And stuff like that.
It sounds like you really lucked out that you guys get along so well. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Brian and Carrie, I mean, you know, can you talk about that too? Because I'm, you know, any parents, you know, always wonder, you know, like, gosh, I hope they all get along and this and that. And, I mean, when you saw how they were growing up, it must have made you feel happy that it was working out so well.
Yeah, you know, that's what you hope for. That's what you pray for, that, you know, that you do enough as a parent to raise them as good young people and they grow up to be good young men and women and successful and all those things. And, yeah, I mean, where they were typical brother and sister, you know, they would get out in the yard and beat the crap out of each other and stuff like that. But 5 minutes later, you know, they'd be sitting down eating popsicles and hugging each other. So it's, you know, but now you look at them as young adults and he's 20 and, you know, she's 17 and, you know, they're adults and, you know, you're just, you know, I'm super proud of what they've grown into and what they're going to be. You know, I look at what's ahead of them and, you know, the sky's the limit with both of them. You know, they have such tremendous work ethic and drive and love and passion for everything that they are involved in, whether it's work or sports or, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, you're just super proud.
And where did the love for basketball and softball come from? Who in the family, you know, brought that into the picture? I guess Mackenzie, so start with you on that.
Might I add, my first sport, like, yes, Hunter played t-ball growing up, but I was like, nah. So I was playing the Wii with my brother, and, you know, Wii Sports, and we started playing the tennis version of Wii Sports, and so we were going back and forth to that, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm in love with tennis. And I remember Dad got me a pink racket with 5 brand new tennis balls, and I put down the garage door, and I was taking my tennis ball, and I was hitting against the garage door, and it would come back to me. Well, I was told I was hitting the ball too hard, so automatically I was forced into t-ball. So
yeah,
I played t-boys with boys and girls up to where we were doing coach pitch and everything, and Hunter was still playing with his travel ball team, and I was getting really along with all this baseball buddies, and soon enough on the weekends we would have t-ball competitions out in the front yard, out in the middle of our yard. It doesn't matter, rain or shine, we had our foam bats, a foam ball. We had like fake bases that are normally t-shirts, or we spray painted the grass. And that was my childhood. Sometimes we would play indoors, and sometimes we'd get kicked out by mom for breaking something, something falling off the wall. But that was my childhood.
Yeah, we had a couple broken windows throughout that whole process, but
it wasn't me.
It was a lot of fun for them growing up, because we had a ton of kids over at our place almost every weekend. But just to comment on why they got into those sports, Brian played basketball in high school, and I played softball and volleyball in high school, and I think Mackenzie tried pretty much all of those sports, and she fell in love with basketball and softball. She really enjoyed both of those, and Hunter really got into basketball in his later high school years and was really pretty good. So kind of disappointed he didn't try and go further with that, but you know, it's a choice, and he loves being a gym rat, and we're just really thankful that they both are very athletic and healthy, so it's been good.
Awesome. Brent, I know you have questions. What's going on in your head now? Get in there.
Well, we're talking a lot about the adoption, and that's awesome. The softball side, Mackenzie, you obviously got great athleticism, great work ethic. What was it that attracted you to softball initially, and what is it about the sport that you're going to take it to the next level and play for Coach Rittman very soon at Clemson?
I got into softball initially because all of my girl cousins played, but all of them were pitchers. So I was like, okay. And I tried that. I went to pitching lessons. It was okay. But then I was put out in right field. And initially I started picking up the grass, picking up flowers, picking the petals off the flowers. And so that was like, That was what I called softball, just being right field, chilling out, looking in the crowd, like, hey, mom. But as I grew up, I was like, well, Hunter's in the outfield, and Hunter's actually like doing good. He's laying out. I was like, I want to do that. So we bought a slipping slide for me, and I learned how to slide and dive and all that good stuff. And so I was like, man, this is fun. So I started doing that, and I like got better and better in the outfield, and I was like, oh my gosh, like I might have like, I don't know, a career in this. And I was getting to like middle school, high school, and I started developing an arm and learning how to do a crow hop correctly. If you ask Coach TJ, I am known to skip once or twice, not necessarily a crow hop. So I've been working with him on that, and as long as Clemson camps and all those times I've been up in Clemson, and Coach Rittman's working with me on my throwing progression, and I work on those when I start to warm up my arm. And every time I'm up there, he's saying that I'm improving and I should keep doing what I'm doing. And while we were in PGF, I threw a girl out from like right center, it was kind of deep. And I texted him right after the game, and I was like, hey, thank you so much for coming out, whatever it was. He was good to see you working. I saw your actual crow hop and all this good stuff. And he was like, keep doing you, kid. And I was like, thank you, Coach Rittman. And all that good stuff.
I think I've never heard of a softball player learning how to slide and dive on a slip and slide. That might be something you want to trademark, that training technique. And Mackenzie, you, exactly. I know, that's awesome. But Mackenzie, you chose Clemson, and you know, it's really you know, it's obviously known for football, and it's, you know, a huge, you know, awesome campus, and the facilities are great. Softball, they're going to be very new. And can you talk about what went into that decision too? Because, you know, a lot of people look for, oh, I want to be Power Five, but, you know, somebody that's been to the College World Series every year for the last 20 years, you know, like you're really part of the ground floor.
Yes, sir. So when I first went up to when Coach TJ came up to me during a tournament and was like, hey, what do you feel about Clemson? And I was like, who? And he was like Clemson University. And I was like, I've never heard of them like going to any tournaments or anything like that. And I was like, I don't know. So I was a bit skeptical, because at the time I was looking into Florida and Tennessee, and I was like, I'm pretty sure I'm sitting on one of those schools. And he was like, well, let's just try it out. And I was like, okay. And so I go up there after a trip in Alabama or something like that, Atlanta. And so we go up there, and we get there, and I don't have any Clemson gear. Mind you, we just came from Atlanta, so it was hot in that tournament. And so I don't have any cold weather clothes. So we get there, and it's 46 and raining. I was like, this is not fun. This is different. And we go to get something to eat at Firehouse, and I had like a Tent Mustang softball shirt on. And this lady goes, oh, are you here for Clemson softball? And I was like, yes, ma'am. Like, I'm here on an official visit. And she goes, oh my gosh, we're so happy that this softball program's starting up, and we're so excited, and blah, blah, blah. And like, as she's making my sandwich, I grab a cup to go fill up a drink, and she pulls my dad aside, and she goes, we've never had an incident with a girl like walking alone by herself, just like reassuring him that like this is a very safe university, and everyone is like very polite, you know, that Southern charm. And so he felt a lot safer knowing that if I went here, there's so many nice people around. And mind you, this is at a Firehouse sub, just grabbing a quick sandwich and going back to the hotel. And we're like, man, that lady was really nice. And so we go into Clemson, I think it's like the Tiger Shop, and we go in there, and I'm looking for a jacket because the next day it's going to be cold, and we're doing all these trips around the school to see what it's like. And so I grab a jacket, and we're checking out, and he's like, oh, do you play softball? And I was like, yeah. And he told us again that they're excited for this softball program starting up. And I was like, man, people like are really noticing softball. And I'm like, yeah, you go to these big universities and people are like, oh, football, football, football. And just like hearing that people like are actually aware of a softball program starting up, I was like, oh, they take it serious around here. And I was like, Dad, like these people are really nice, and I haven't even seen like any of the campus yet. I don't know where anything is. And I was like, Dad, this seems really special. And he was like, well, if this is the place for you, I want you to feel like home. And so the next day we're driving around in Coach Whitman's truck, and mind you, he's been on campus for like 6 or 7 days. So he's figuring out where places are when we're figuring out where places are. And he takes us up this little hill, and it's like this where the rowing team is, and like we're on a river or a lake. And we look at him, and he was like, I didn't mean to take you guys here. I think I took a wrong turn, but look how pretty this is. And we were talking about we're just talking about we might do the softball field up here. Mind you, nothing has been built yet. There is no softball stadium. There is no clubhouse. There's nothing. And so we're just driving around talking about possible locations. And he stops the truck, and he's like, now this is where I want the stadium. And we're by the baseball stadium, and I'm looking around, and he's pointing in all these different directions. And this would be here, and we're standing on home plate, and this would be the outfield. And mind you, I'm not a very visual person. Like, if you start verbally talking to me about something, like, I don't see it. But when he was talking to me about this, like, I saw the plan laid out, like, where we were. I was like, oh, my gosh, like, this stadium's going to be gorgeous, and we have this brand-new team that we can do a lot of damage with. And I was like, Dad, like, I'm really seeing this play out in my head. And he was like, well, I'm glad. And then a couple tournaments later, I ran into a Clemson commit, and I was like, so are you excited? She's like, oh, man, yeah. And she's going crazy, and she's like 6 foot. And I'm like, yeah, like, I'm excited too. And she's like, oh, we're gonna have so much fun up there, kid. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, well, I'm glad you're excited about it. And I told Coach TJ, and I was like, Coach TJ, like, this feels like home. And he was like, well, that's what we're looking for, right? And I was like, yes, sir. And he stopped. He was like, what? And I was like, I didn't think I was going to go anywhere. And my dad thought I was crazy because, mind you, I was like one of the last 2020s on my travel ball team to commit. Like, everyone was committed besides, like, the people that are younger than me. And I was like, they're like, all these colleges are running out of 2020 money. And here comes Clemson coming out of nowhere. It was like, we're willing to offer you, blah, 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 blah. And I felt so relieved. Like, if any softball player is listening to this, they are agreeing with me 100%. Like, finding a college that is right for you and has your career that you want to take or whatever, like, it feels so good to know what you're going to do with your life after high school. It's just so relieving.
And Deb, Brian, when you're on this trip, you know, and you're looking out there, and, you know, and were you able to see the same vision that Coach Ridman and your daughter were seeing out there too?
You know, to be honest, the first time it came up, we were in Tennessee, and I remember seeing Coach Ridman come up, and it was funny because her and Coach Weekly walked up the same time, and Pi hit a changeup about 250 feet over the left field fence, and they both turned to each other and started laughing. You know, and then, you know, and then walking out, that's when TJ said, hey, what do you guys think? And then you fast forward to Atlanta, and, you know, and we start kind of processing this a little bit. And yeah, you start to see the vision. And I'll tell you, when I really started to feel it, you know, the weather didn't bother me because I'm from Western Pennsylvania. We're used to cold and rainy and crappy weather. So, but watching and listening to Coach Ripman and ride around and getting lost on campus and stuff that morning, you know, that's when I knew in my heart that's, you know, he's genuine. You know, he's there for all the right reasons. You know, he's brand spanking new to this environment, but you look at his resume, you look at his track record, you know, so you know what kind of a man he is and what kind of a coach he is and what he's going to put together. But then you know, you talk about the lady at the firehouse, and you talk about, you know, the people at the shops or the people on the streets or, you know, the athletic trainer that was outside in the rain with a couple of athletes that wanted some extra work in, and it was 45 degrees outside and raining that morning, and they had stationary bikes out there in the field, you know, working. You know, you put all that stuff together, and just their total commitment to the athletes and the school and the city, and I mean, that's what I look for. I mean, I know she's going to do great things, and Clemson's going to have a really great run over the many years to come, but you know, when you look at people that are that committed, and yeah, it was tough to see. There's no stadium. They didn't even have a softball on campus, you know, let alone anything else. You couldn't find a softball if you wanted to. But, you know, they have the vision, and they have the drive, and they have the support, which is awesome. I mean, the school really, really wants this. And, you know, we just came back from her official visit, and listening to the academic support and the athletic support and the, you know, just everybody, you know, they're all super, super excited. So, yeah, I'm I'm totally excited that this is what she picked, and it's going to be just an awesome run.
Well, it's great to see a community so dedicated to female sports and excited to have them. And Brent, you got any more questions for the Clarks here?
No, I think their story is fantastic. This is what softball is, makes it great on and off the field. And I think we've had a chance to learn about Mackenzie and her adoption story and her parents and Hunter and the family. It's a heartwarming story. It's inspiring to me that this is what's right about athletics. And, you know, John Rickman, people I've talked to rave about him, and he was a great coach at Stanford, had success, and he went to Kansas. And as you said, his track record speaks for itself. So I'm excited for the future of Clemson. I'm excited to see players like Pi go in there and make a quick contribution. And it's just exciting to see, you know, new programs like Duke, you know, going up and having success and in the sport. And, you know, hopefully that Clemson will have softball success like they've had in other sports, including football.
I got two important questions before we let you go. First, did you guys rub the stump at the top of the stadium before you when you were at Clemson?
You know what? We didn't, did we?
We weren't out on that end of the stadium.
Yeah, so. That lawn is pretty important. So
we got to do that. That's good luck.
Yeah, maybe next trip. We'll
okay,
see
Mackenzie,
you
promise.
I
yeah. And then the other question, how'd you get your nickname? Bye. Where does that come from?
Okay, so I was about like 7 or 8, and so there was 3 Mackenzies on my travel ball team at the time, and I wasn't on the Mustangs yet. I was still on Fruitville Fear, and Coach Sam goes, okay, Mackenzie, put your hand in, and I was one of the first Mackenzies to put my hand in. I was like, ah, get you to it. But now that I'm thinking about it, he was probably talking to his daughter. So I was like, well, my hand was in there first. So I was like, pie on 3, 1, 2, 3, pie. And we broke off or whatever it is. And I was like, and my friend goes, why did you say pie? And I was like, well, I love pie. And she was like, you're so weird. And I was like, oops. Like, and ever since then, every coach and every teammate of mine has been like, okay, your name is Pi from now on. Mind you, that was like a few years ago. So, and I had a friend walk up to me in one of the tournaments. Is like, are you outgrowing the name Pi? And I was like, I've had it for this long. Might as well keep it going.
Well, I don't think it's weird to be a fan of Pi. Pi is the best thing in the world.
Exactly. Exactly.
Thank you.
Especially to get some Amish pie.
Oh, yeah.
Not to end on a contentious note, but I'm a fan of ice cream over pie. I'm sorry. Ice cream is the greatest thing in the world.
We'll continue this fight later, them. Brent.
Yes.
Excuse me, sir. You're wrong.
We're going to edit this part out.
Well, Clark family, I appreciate you guys coming on and joining us for the second episode of the Extra Innings Softball Podcast, and wish you luck, and can't wait to see Mackenzie diving over fences, robbing homers again when we see her in action.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Take care. Goodbye. Talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Brent.
Yes, sir.
Fantastic family. That was really cool. I totally, thoroughly enjoyed that.
Yeah. And I had a chance to talk to them at PGF Nationals, and that's what made me so fired up about her story. And it was great that we had TJ, Coach TJ of the Mustangs on, and you know, he runs a successful program. But as he alluded in the short time he was with us, it's not just about, you know, having success, you know, even at the college level. It's about interns and his former players reaching out to him and asking advice, looking for help. And that's what it's all about. It's, you know, on and off the field. And that's what makes the sport great is the people. And, you know, I've always been a fan of coaches and club coaches. And, you know, Brian alluded to, it sounds like he's very involved on the coaching and development side too. They're doing it to help the kids. And they're not looking to make millions and pro contracts and all that. They're looking to do it because these kids want to get better. They want to develop a skill, and they want to be able to play at the next level, sport they love, and hopefully get an education as part of it.
Yeah, and I love some players that want to go out and, you know, be a part of building something, you know, not just, you know, everybody loves the schools with tradition and stuff. To be there at the ground floor to help build it up, and you know it's not going to take Clemson long. I mean, that's a fantastic community, unbelievable campus and academics. It's going to be, I think they're going to build it up very quickly.
Yeah, and it's fun because Duke's got a couple-year head start, and you got Florida State, which just won a national championship, and North Carolina can do some damage. North Carolina State has a new coach a year or two so ago. So it's going to be fun. ACC, you know, they're in the shadow of the SEC, and it's why the sport is growing, and ESPN is devoting more and more resources to covering it. It's just a great sport with great people.
Maybe over here on the West Coast, USC can take a lesson and get on board, jump in the softball game. What the heck?
Yeah, we talked about that. You know, it's interesting to see states, or not just states, but universities, Colorado and Washington State, and as you mentioned, USC, that don't have softball programs. And, you know, in the heart, in the backyard of where softball is incredibly strong in Southern California and Los Angeles area, it just seemed to be natural that you and we got to take a step back. We're West Coast biased. Some people hear USC and they think South Carolina, right? And so
that's right. Yeah. I'm from SoCal, so I'm talking about the Trojans, and I can't even believe they do not have the biggest women's sport in the nation on their campus. It's embarrassing. Well, and Clemson's jumping on board.
Yep. And UCLA's not complaining. They love having Southern California, you know, to themselves in the Pac-12. So
true. Well, hey, Brent, we had some other topics we were thinking about discussing, but I think we should end it on a high note. That was such a great family to talk to, and Mackenzie was just fantastic. So I think we should call it a day here.
I agree. We'll pick it up next week, and there's a lot going on. Softball always is. But as you said, a high note when you talk to quality people and hear great uplifting stories, what better way to end our podcast than thinking about what the family, the Kennedy family, and everything they have going on. It just makes you feel good about the sport and the people in it.
Right on. And keep going to extraenningsoftball.com. We got the 2024 Elite Extra Elite 100 that's been running since last week. We're getting down to the final 50 here this week. So you want to check it out for that, plus all the other stories we're going to have. And check it out. Follow me, Carlos Arias, on Twitter @Los_stuff, and follow Brent @ExtraInningSB, and that's where we'll be putting up a lot of news too. So come back next week. Thanks a lot, everybody. God bless and good night.
Have a great week.